KN4VWA.
10-4-VWA, W4-DJW. Hey, how's this sound?
Theo's pretty good. Are you on an HD?
No, I'm transmitting on the radio I always transmit on, but I'm listening on my iPod, my iPhone earplugs.
Wow, okay. Actually, it's got a little bit of scratch in the background. And the audio is okay, but it's compared to your regular radio... audio is just ever so slightly weaker.
Okay. Well, I bumped up the power a little bit to see if that helps. Let me know. That went from 10 watts to 50 watts. We'll see if that was what the issue was. But I hear you in my left ear about 250 milliseconds before I hear you again in my right ear. That's pretty weird. I've got to figure out what's going on there. Maybe the way I have my head heard. Anyway, what's the plan?
Improvement, completely cleared up, back to your old self again, and cell phones with those Bluetooths, when you have duals like that, occasionally have synchronization problems. That's not uncommon. I've run into that many times. And I learned something today.
Well, hey, have you started working on installing the new receiver yet? Or new radio, I guess?
Go ahead and use the proper term here, Dave. Double dumbass on me. Okay? I was trying to get I got it all put in, and the rudder is backwards. It needs to be inverted. So, I disconnect the battery, and I go into the software, and I cannot get it to go over there. Well, I learned that you've got to have the battery in the aircraft plugged in so that you can get your telemetry back, because that's on the receiver, I do believe. So, anyhow, I got it done. I got the rudder reversed, and I'm going to let it drop a second. Everything all taken care of. Everything is checked out on the three positions of SD. It's just perfect. It's ready to go. All I really need to do is find a way to mount my receiver in such a way. Have you ever seen that red molding tape that they use for moldings on all automobiles by 3M?
Yeah, you used that one time on a repair to... It was a new wing that you put red tape on the servo lines so that it held the servo lines in place, and it blended in with the red paint on the airplane pretty well.
Well, now that was just some red Gorilla duct tape. What I'm talking about is a double face tape that a lot of the auto manufacturers use for mounting moldings on the side of cars, but it's not holding to the back of the receiver well. Now, that receiver is going to be in that airplane for a very long time. Now, do we foresee a reason for it to be able to be taken in and out?
I don't ever do that. I always use double-sided sticky tape. And I got some... There's a lot of debate about which ones are the best, but I got some... If you need a slice of it, I can give it to you. It lasts a long time. I mean, it's really good stuff. A lot of people swear by it. Some people like it. Some use like anything else. Some people like it. Some people don't. But if you need some that is very tacky and will stay down for a long time, I can give you a slice of what I use.
Just take you up on that. Now, as far as anything else goes, I just need to get some small tie wraps on my leads, on my servo leads, and button up the compartments and go fly. It is ready. I've already adjusted the arms on the servos. They are exactly dead center. It's just all done. I'm ready to fly, baby.
So if you don't want to wait, if you want to just get it and go out and fly, you can if you've got some of that foam padding that goes on the inside of drawer liners, not the paper for drawer liners, but the foam. There's some really thin foam padding that you can line drawers with. That works really good. And just a really lightweight rubber band or two, just to hold it in place until you can get some, if you can get a rubber band behind it. If you can't, you can, like, put a rubber band behind something and put a slide of toothpick through it, right? Just to hold it in place while it's flying, while we do the maiden flight with the new receiver and transmitter. And I can bring that foam tape with me, and then when you get back home tonight, you can swap it out.
Well, I'm actually thinking about using this stuff called foam tack. It's what I bonded the rest of the aircraft together with, and it's really strong. I may go ahead and just use that. It sets up after about, it sets up to where it can be used after about an hour. The only thing I'm thinking about is, do I need to be concerned on the stabilizer portion for vibration? Do I need a foam layer between it and the foam of the aircraft to kind of be an intermediate between the receiver and the aircraft body?
I'm glad you asked that, because I just take that for granted that everybody knows. Absolutely. You do not want to transmit vibration. You don't want to connect it to anything that will transmit vibrations. That's why that foam and a rubber band and a toothpick on the other side, foam doesn't transmit vibrations very well at all. Whereas if you put some glue that's going to harden and it's going to turn into like epoxy-like stuff, no, that's no good. Even that hot melt glue, when it hardens, it will transmit vibrations. And that messes up the gyros, the accelerometers, everything else that's inside there that's trying to sense whether the airplane has moved or not. So that's my bad. I should have told you that a long time ago. No vibration transmission material between the receiver and the airplane.
Might be the case. Now, let me run this by you. I have some industrial Velcro. It's very good. And the hook and loop leaves just that little bit of, you know, movement that might be, what do you think?
I know the movement that you're talking about, but I've never used that. But bear in mind, I mean, if it's a windy day and it's like, the airplane's bouncing around, and it's going to be bouncing around inside there even more, and it's going to be compensating too much, and the overcompensation is going to cause it to bounce even more. I wouldn't. So it needs to be a mount that isn't moving much at all, right? That's why the double-sided foam tape is really, really good. And there's a lot of different. There's a ton. I mean, we could talk about this for 10 years. There's that much worth of information out there on the internet where people are constantly debating what's the best. And I got some that a bunch of people were swearing by it 5-6 years ago. So I ordered like 4 foam boards that are about 10 inches square of that stuff. And it's more than either one of us would ever use up in a lifetime of flying, because all you need is a centimeter by centimeter square on each corner, right? Just to, the less you have, the more material you have between the two, the more vibrations are going to be transmitted. So you want a secure connection between it and the airframe, but you want to reduce the... Some people go so far as they use 4 rubber bands, one in each corner, to string it up, holding it up, and then 4 more holding it down. So it's like they used to suspend nitroglycerin in wagons. And remember the old when they carried nitroglycerin, they had 4 springs going up and 4 springs going down, one of each of the 4s connected to one of the corners of the box. Some people have gone to that extreme. I don't do that, but 4 pieces of foam board, one in each corner, 1 centimeter square, will do it.
All right. Well, I may let you help me with that. I don't have that type of material. Every time I've used that type of material in the past, the sticky part, you know, you get it out of Lowe's, and the sticky part is really not that great. It doesn't stay.
Well, another one that I found was really good is that 3M 3M makes it. It's got a green peelable back. It's double-sided sticky tape. It's about an eighth of an inch thick. And it's got like a plaid Scottish-style pattern on it. I can send you a picture of it. I got that at like Target or something like that. And I've been using it for a long time, too. It works pretty good. You know, where the other stuff is too thick or I feel like it's too stiff, this is a little less stiff, and it works good, too. Now, this, you can double up. You can use two pieces of it stuck together, and it sticks really good. And the reason I know that is because I've had to take it off. And taking it off, it doesn't just pop off. You have to work on it to get it off.
A photograph of that, and I'll stop over at Lowe's and pick some up. Beyond that, man, I'm ready to fly. I really am. I was really encouraged this morning. And like I said, it took me a couple of tries, about 5 minutes to figure out how to get back over there to invert the rudder. But beyond that, I've tested everything else. The stabilizer and the level flight, it's all working perfect. It's all good. Throttle cut, everything. So, man, I'm all set.
Okay, well, I just picked up my phone to text you that, and I saw that you texted me. Sorry about that. I missed that. I've been cutting out parts for the new monitor to mount to the tripod. And this morning, yesterday I cut out the main pieces of it, and today I'm cutting out the piece that connects the brace to the back of it so it doesn't snap off, because the whole monitor was balancing on 1/4 by 20 screw, and that's no good, right? Somebody blows it over, something's going to break. So I've got one more piece. I'm doing the CAD-CAM piece of it right now, and then I'm going to go cut it out. And I might have to make two washers, and then I'll be ready to go. I don't know that I haven't charged any batteries or anything. I want to get this done. So I might just go out there and fly yours. We'll do the trim and all that stuff on yours. We might have to add exponential. I was thinking about that. And I need to go into – I don't think I ever added exponential on my Tyrannus. I've added it to my Tandem, but not my Tyrannus. So we're going to have to figure that out, too. If it's too – Because I got to thinking about what it was like the very first time we ever flew it. It was really super sensitive. If it's that way again, then we might have to go in there. It might be an exception where we have to add some dual rates to it.
All right. And should I bring my laptop to do that, or do we just go in through the controls?
Well, I used to be able to do it through the controls. Did you download and you got a backup copy of yesterday's view of what it looked like yesterday before you made any changes? You know that's the regular rhythm we got to get into, is backing up. Every time you make a change, pull it from the receiver. If we're going to make the change on the transmitter, you're going to pull a copy of it to the computer. That's going to be the new latest, and that's going to save with a different date and timestamp. And I got to thinking about that. Yeah, the operating system does put a date and timestamp on it, but you can't put two files in the same directory with the same name. So that's why I put the date and timestamp on the name. Not necessarily the time, but at least the date. And it'd be good to have it there just in case we can't find it. But we've got to get into that habit of how we store backups. And every day it needs to be a different backup, and sometimes multiple times in the same day.
Where I was with what we had, and I saw that I needed to change the rudder. So I've got the rudder changed, but I have not downloaded it yet. So I do need to download it at the software level that it's at right now, because it is all set and ready to go. So I will try to do that before I come out to the field. Now, schedule, as the British would say, our schedules. I've got to run down to the Greenville Downtown Airport for about 45 minutes, and I'm about 20 minutes out from there, so I'll be there at about 10:30, and I'll be there until about 10:45, maybe 11, and then it'll put me back at the house after I go to Target to pick up that material at 12. So then I figure it'll take me about a half an hour to do my tie-up after I get that material. So, you know, 12:30, I could be at the field at 1 o'clock, I think.
All right. Well, that'll work for me because I'm not planning on taking anything. I might take one airplane out there to fly, but that's not my goal for today. I'm going to finish doing this. And when you're ready, just ping me. I can drop this at any time and go out there and we can do the maiden on that one and get comfortable with it. I think we need to give that one some time today anyway without any noise from trying to do the FPV stuff. We'll do the FPV stuff tomorrow or something like that after we get you situated in your new transmitter receiver combo setup.
Fantastic. And listen, tomorrow after about 1 o'clock, you've got me the rest of the day for anything that you need help with. You just need it.
Okay. Well, I should have all my stuff squared away and ready to go tomorrow afternoon. And that means you're going to be watching the monitor in the airplane. You're going to be my spotter. And I'm going to be heads down with goggles on. All right, so it's been about 6 years since I've done that, but I'm ready. That's like haven't been to Nirvana in 6 years and ready to go to Nirvana. That's the Nirvana of flight. Anyway, I'll let you try it. You'll get addicted. You won't want to fly any other way afterwards. It's kind of like learning IFR on full scale, IFR versus VFR.
I don't know what it was, but I really never gained an absolute full trust for IFR flight in real scale. Star rating.
My ear pods quit working, and I saw that you were talking, so I had to go find out why. It says it can't open a buffer. Oh, that guy quit working. So I'm running a repeater. Anyway, I'm going to quit messing with that. What was your question again?
Well, what I was saying was is I never got truly 100% totally confident with IFR. And I was just wondering, did you get your IFR rating?
No, but my instructor made me fly IFR a lot. He put me under the hood. A real physical hood that you put, it blocked the windshield out. It blocked the side windows out. And I had to fly based on instruments only. Now, once you get used to that, it's a totally different experience than flying VFR. And I enjoyed it. But this way, it's kind of different in that you're using a camera. You're not looking out the window, but you're using a camera. And once you get comfortable with that camera, you can go anywhere. I mean, you tend to lose sight of your limitation. You don't realize how limited our type of flying is until you fly like this. Let's put it that way. Now, the FAA's got new rules. We've got to stick to those rules, so we've got to be a little bit more conscious about what's going on. Before the FAA did that, we take those Go Discovers and we do just that, Go Discover. And you'd be surprised what's out there. It's not flying over houses or anything like that. Flying out through following power lines. Or following, like they do, there's not only are there power lines out there, but there's also where water mains go cut across counties and lines. And there's no humans, no houses or no businesses or anything. And they're out in the middle of nowhere. And you can just, it's just kind of a really cool experience.
Back in the day, I used to run with Greenville County Jeep Search and Rescue. That's back before they had all the money for the helicopters. And it was our group that always got called on to go and find people lost up at Table Rock. Or, you know, take our four-wheel drives and go back into the mountains and try to pull people out. Well, the long and the short of it, most of those places where we used to go trail ride are now closed off, blocked off, and you can't even get back in there. I would love to do what you're talking about and just fly over those areas to see what they look like these days.
That's another really good usage. That Plus, when you're doing, like, they're wanting to survey land, you can do, like, the work of 10 different people out there working in the field in a quarter of the time that it would take those 10 people to do that work, doing mapping, where you're using LIDAR. You're bouncing waves off the surface of the earth, and you know you've got the GPS, you've got flow sensors. So that's another good use of it. Another one is finding people that are missing, right? You can do much more than helicopters or dogs on the ground. You can just, it's breakthrough technology. And that's why I enjoy it so much. It's a ton of fun.
Out of a curiosity, can you run FLIR on yours?
FLIR, the nighttime vision.
Well, it's more, FLIR is, heat detection. Except that, you know, they could run it from aircraft, like from helicopters. They used it for a long time. I don't know if they've upgraded to something else now or not.
Yeah, if that is what I'm thinking it is, W4DJW, if that is what I'm thinking it is, then yes, you can, you're running on a, there's multiple ways to do it. So all of the stuff that they have on the full-scale helicopters, they have the same capability in the multirotors at a much reduced price. And they're at varying degrees of quality, depending on price. So, yeah, you can do that. A lot of people do that, too, and they'll flip back and forth. They got cameras that they can flip that on and flip that off as they're flying at nighttime. And if they're flying somewhere where there's a lot of lights, they can flip that off. And it's like you can see those lights and you can see shadows, and they can flip that back on, and all of a sudden it looks like you're flying in the daytime. But it's night, but it's pitch black outside.
On different occasions back in the day, we had people that were lost up around either Table Rock or over in the mountains around Caesar's Head. Well, it was extremely difficult to nighttime search without a moon. Now, during a moonlit night, it was moderate, and we could continue the search, but not on a moonless night. And the application of one of those drones with FLIR in a situation like that would be invaluable. Man.
Yeah, that's why we need to think about, that's why I'm doing all this work to get the price of the multirotor down from $2,000 a multirotor to $400 and make them dependable, right? Because there's a huge market for stuff like that. Anyway, I got to get back to my machining, or I'm not ever going to finish. And you got stuff to do too, so take off. Ping me when you get close to leaving, and I should be ready by then to go to the airfield and do the maiden on yours. And I might bring an airplane, I might not.
Sounds great. Man, you sure set the wheels turning. You know, search and rescue like that, that would really be something else. All right. Anyhow, KN4VWA, I'm clear after your final, big guy, and I'll hit you when I'm ready to walk out the door.
All right. Sounds good. Something to think about for retirement, because you're not really retired, and I'm not yet either. But we got to have a plan like that, something fun to do that we enjoy doing, that we can't wait to get started on in the morning, that also brings it in instead of shipping it out. Brings in the l'argent instead of shipping it out. Anyway, talk to you later. KM4VWA, W4DJW, I'm back at it.
E7J Mobile.
Morning, big guy. KN4VWA Mobile.
He's pulling off to.
Building a little bit of plastic kits for a modeling group, and we do museum level modeling. And we got a little club meeting this morning down at the Greenville Downtown Airport, and I'm moseying that way.
That sounds like fun. I am heading back home, hoping my coax is going to come today. I had to get some 75 ohm LMR 400, and I'd like to build my phasing lines today if the coax shows up.
Gave me the hint as to why you needed 75 ohm instead of 50 ohm.
5 ohm for the phasing line.
The 6 meter setup you were talking about?
I built, setting on some sawhorses back there. They're ready to go. I got a little bit more fabricating to do on the mast brackets, but that's just a matter of drilling some holes. It's not a big deal. And once I get the phasing lines put together, I'm pretty much ready to put them up.
Write a song about you, the 6 meter man.
I'll be doing much 6 meter till next year, but sometimes there's a little opening in December. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Pretty much through the summer for 6 meter.
August, sometime in August, usually. This year, it's like somebody just shut the switch off.
I think we need to chaw our friends that are in charge of woke and reestablish that and make it fair and make it work all year long.
Propagation gods to work with you there, I'm all for that, but unfortunately, I don't think we have the power.
Well, I'm just being a smart aleck this morning. I tell you what. Well, fortunately, with the help of a good friend, W4DJW, who has a font of knowledge on radio control aircraft, I've got a new radio. And what I understand, it is leading edge. You can do just about anything with it on programming. And he's helped me get it set up, and it's going to have its maiden flight today on a rebuilt aircraft.
Yeah, Dave knows his stuff for sure. He's real into the model aircrafts and that kind of stuff. So he knows. He's been doing it for a long time.
I think he's going to answer the phone speaking in computer code. Oh, he is smart. Well, in the meantime, so you think you're going to get that 6 meter up anytime soon?
Yeah, trying to decide what's going to be the best way to get the two, three elements down and get the two, five elements up. And I'm actually leaning towards renting a lift.
On the ground, are you going to get them?
Same as the three elements. The first one's at 33 feet, and the second one is at 45 feet.
Say lift, are you talking about a bucket truck type thing?
Here that rents a lift. It's a bucket lift, and it's not a bucket truck, but it's a tow behind lift. So you back it right up to where you want it, and put the stabilizer legs out, and you go up about 50 feet.
Okay. I thought you had to have certain certifications to operate one of those.
Just rent it and bring it home. I used one not long ago to build a big, gigantic carport for a guy's RV. We used one.
That's kind of making some wheels turn. Well, what does something like that run a day?
Sure, I have not looked up, but I'm thinking it's like maybe 200 a day, something like that. So go pick it up first thing in the morning and, you know, have it back the next morning. Pick it up at 8 o'clock today, have it back by 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. I would gladly spend that kind of money for what I'm thinking about doing. And you say they'll go up how high?
Different heights, but I think you can get them up to about 50 feet.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't need one to go but about 20-25 feet.
To do that, and there's several different kinds. You can get the kind that roll around on wheels. Those come on a trailer. You got to have it delivered, or you got to have a big trailer to haul it. And then they have some that are tow behinds, and you hook it up to the back of your truck and tow it, and then you back it up to about where you want it and put the legs down and up you go.
Well, now, okay, you got to have the legs down. How close to the side of a building can you get with the legs down and out?
Well, enough, because it's the arms like articulate, so you don't have to have the thing 6 inches from the side of the building to get to the side of the building. You could have it 4 or 5 feet away and rotate it around, and there's a couple of extending arms, and they kind of articulate in and out, and I mean, you can do just about anything you would want to do with it.
That sounds good. Okay. Man. Standing on a platform, I think I would feel a little more confident. See, I have a fear of heights, and I've got to get up at about 20 feet or 18 feet and attach my tower to the side of my building. And I am not relishing trying to do that with a ladder.
They serve the purpose, and I don't know when you're wanting to do it, but I anticipate my project taking me maybe 4 or 5 hours tops. So if I picked one up early enough in the morning, I would probably be done by, or maybe even the night before, I would probably be done by noon. And you could take it from here down to your place, use it for the rest of the time, and then return it. We might be able to split the cost on it.
K-N-4-V-W-A. Hey, bud, I like the way you think. The only issue I have is I've got to get that... I could probably have my concrete poured by about Wednesday or Thursday next week. And, well... It's not that big a pad. It's not real heavy. It's Ron 25, and all I'm doing is pouring enough of a pad that, you know, to just keep the base from shifting around. It's not a big, huge pad. So when were you thinking?
Not exactly sure. I'd have to price one out and see. Because, see, basically what I have to do is go all the way up to the top at 45 feet, pull the three element down, come down to 32 feet, pull the second three element down, put them down on the ground, and then go back up to the top with the first five and attach it and drop the coax down, the phasing line down, go back up at 32 feet, put the second one up, connect it all up, you know, drop the feed line from the T on down after I get it all taped up and everything. And, I mean, that's it. I don't think it's going to take me 4 hours. But I got to get the coax here, and I got to, I don't know, maybe in a week or two.
If it works out, I might just be ready to go in a week or two. So when you decide to do that, give me a call, okay?
I will, and I'm actually realistically definitely going to be after W4DXCC, probably maybe in the first or second weekend in October, something like that, or probably during a weekday would be better, but probably... you know, mid-October, maybe.
You the man. I'll be ready to go. You give me a call whenever you're ready to do that, and let's see if we can't get that done. All right. Well, listen, I have arrived at my destination, and I need to go on in. So, hey, try to behave yourself today. And if you don't get caught. 73s. KN4VWA, I'll be clear after your final.
All right, Steve, I'm also going to go online today and see how much they want to rent one of these for a day. I'll catch you later, Andy, 7J Clear.
CSW Affordable.